Read from Psalm, read Psalm 23, first of all, and then we'll read also some verses from John chapter 10. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's where we read in Psalm 23. We move now to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, Jesus' New Testament commentary and explanation of some of the teachings in Psalm 23. We'll read just verses 14 through 29. John 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, Those are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Once again, our text is Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Beloved in Jesus Christ, we are at the beginning of another growing season. Soon crops again will be planted in the fields, and eventually, under the provision of the Lord, those crops will ripen and be harvested and will be provided again with the food that we need for another year. Of course, as we consider that, we consider not only the planting, the growing, the harvesting of crops, but God's care for us in every respect. God will care for us in this year, whether we farm the soil, or whether we go to a factory, or whether we're employed in other employments. God, we know, will care for us. And so, tonight we begin another year of trusting in our God. Trusting that He will provide, that He will care for us, that He will give us all that we need. And that because He is our good shepherd. He's our Father, but He is also our good shepherd. He is, you understand, the original shepherd. Well, the earthly shepherds that have existed throughout history, and fewer today, but those who exist yet today too, are only reflections of God. Not saying they're willing reflections, but they're reflections as God created them to be, reflections of God. God is the ultimate shepherd. He is the original shepherd, not only as He has decreed it in eternity, as He has decreed Himself to be the shepherd of His people before He ever created any earthly shepherds, but also in time and in history. God was the shepherd of Adam and Eve, even before their son Abel took up the occupation of tending sheep and tending a flock. God was the shepherd, and Abel pictured that for his family and for himself by the occupation to which he was called. Later in history, there was, of course, another shepherd. There were shepherds all throughout history, but there was an important shepherd named David. God called, even at a young age, to tend to the sheep, tend to his father's sheep. He was a shepherd, and he was also a sheep of God, under the care of his good shepherd. And it was in that knowledge that he wrote Psalm 23, the psalm that we consider briefly this evening. As he knew what it meant to be a shepherd, as he had himself personally been involved in that occupation, but also as he himself knew what it meant to be a sheep of God. He wrote, under the inspiration of the Spirit, the psalm that we consider this evening. So that we understand God's intention in giving to us this psalm is that we say, we know first of all this truth as our own, and then we say these words as well as His people. We confess that God, the original shepherd, the good shepherd of His sheep, is also our shepherd, so that we can then know, then I shall not want. And so that we can say, I shall not want. Consider that text under the theme, having no want, having no want. First of all, the absolute fact. Secondly, the gracious reason. And thirdly, the personal confession. We have no want. That's a fact. That's simply the truth. Want means lack. Especially the children need to understand that. When we speak of want, now tonight we're not talking about our desiring what we want in that sense, but want means to have a lack, to not have enough, to have an absence of something vital that we need. The Word of God tells us we have no lack, we have no absence of anything that we need. And that, first of all, applies to our spiritual life and our spiritual needs. Especially then, the truth of the psalm states and teaches us that we have no spiritual want. That is most important. That is fundamental and primary for us to understand in our life. And that ought to come to our mind often, and that ought to come to our mind first as we confess, I shall not want, I have no lack. We think first of all of the spiritual, because that's the most important. What we mean then is, what God's Word means, is that we have no lack of God's love. We have no lack of God's grace. We have no lack of God's mercy, God's love, that power within His heart which binds us unto Himself, which seeks after us, which finds us, which clasps us unto Himself. No lack, no want in that regard. God loves us. We have no lack, we have no want as far as God's grace, God's unmerited favor, His favor, His blessing. We, as God's sheep, as God's people, have no lack of God's grace. And the same is true with regard to God's mercy, God's pity, God's compassion for us. His looking upon us in our misery and His feeling sorry for us, but not simply feeling, but also then acting and responding and reaching out to us in our misery and lifting us up out of our misery and out of our woe unto blessedness, unimaginable blessedness. We have no want of that mercy. And therefore, then too, we have no want of strength, no lack of strength, spiritual strength. For the very power of the Almighty God, the infinite God, is ours. All of His power and all of His strength is employed in blessing us, caring for us, loving us, showing His grace and His mercy unto us. And then He gives us that strength too. He gives us His own strength. He puts it within us so that we say, I have no lack, no want of spiritual strength. All of that is what the psalm is bringing out in various, very beautiful ways. Speaks about us using the picture that we've already talked about, the picture of ourselves being sheep and God being our shepherd. But as sheep, the passage looks at us and says, you have no want, you have no lack. Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, the waters of rest, the waters which make me rest. I have no lack, no lack at all. If a sheep is to lie down in a green pasture, then that's a well-fed sheep. That's a sheep that has eaten its fill of those green pastures. He has all that he wants. So he can rest, he can lie down in the green pastures surrounded with all of the food, all the verdure that he might need. And he drinks of the waters which set his soul at ease, set his body at rest so that he can lie down and have peace and rest. And of course, that's figurative with regard to us. God says about us that he gives to us also green pastures and waters of rest. He gives to us also the Word of God and the Spirit which always accompanies that Word. He gives to us all of the Word of God that we need, all of the spiritual food for our souls that we need. He feeds us in abundance so that we can have rest in that Word, so that as we are filled with the Word of God, we can rest in that Word of God and have comfort and have peace. Principally, centrally, that Word of God is God's word unto us. I forgive you. And because I forgive you in Jesus Christ, then you have my love and my care as well. You are mine. But all of the Word of God, centrally that, but all of the Word of God, God speaks to us, and by that speaking to us, filling us with that Word, He fills us with strength and health and rest as His people. Verse 3 continues the analogy. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. The sheep are led by a shepherd. We are led by our shepherd. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's a need we have as well. We need to be led. We don't know what paths of righteousness look like apart from being led by our good shepherd. We could not walk on those necessary paths of righteousness as God's sheep except that a shepherd, good shepherd, would come and lead us and guide us on those paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Not on the basis of us or anything we have done, but on the basis of his own work and his own name's sake. We have no want then with regard to that. We will not be left to wander off course, to carry on away from the green pastures, wander off into the wilderness till at last we're surrounded by wolves and torn to pieces. Not be allowed to wander off from the paths of righteousness, off into again the wilderness, but over the edge of a cliff to be dashed to pieces and destroyed. We do not have that lack, that want. We will be led in paths of righteousness. And 2, then also, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. We have no lack in that regard either. As sheep, we are vulnerable. And even as sheep under the care of a shepherd, we're constantly surrounded with enemies. Enemies that often they weren't even aware of, but sometimes enemies that they could even see that they were aware of. And so it is with us too, as God's people. Surrounded with enemies, we are. And yet, the Lord teaches us that He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Even as our enemies are near us and threaten us and seek to take our life away, God says, never mind that, never mind them here. Sit down and have a meal. Relax. I will feed you. And that amounts to our head being anointed with oil, ourselves being strengthened again so that we can go about the work that we have to do in order to serve God as prophet, priest, and king, anointed by God. But then also, my cup runneth over. There's abundance, there's blessing, there's a multitude. In the presence of our enemies, God provides for us, cares for us, so that the truth of the matter is, we have no want, we have no lack, we suffer no absence of anything that we need. That's true of us now. That's the truth for us as God's flock at this moment in this day. But that's the truth for us with regard to the future as well. And that's really our focus tonight, isn't it? We can say that's true for us now, but on prayer day we look forward. We're looking at planting crops, and we're looking forward to the year ahead and God's care for us in the year ahead. And we can recognize in the future this also will be true. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall have no lack tomorrow any more than I do today. Next week, next month, all the year long. Indeed, really, all the way to the end of my life. That's the truth. That's the truth that's especially brought out in verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's the truth for God's sheep. That's the truth for us as His flock and individual members of His flock. All of my life, goodness and mercy will follow me so that I have no want, I have no lack. But then also, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. After that goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life, that goodness and mercy is not then withdrawn at the last, but that goodness and mercy remains mine, and that goodness and mercy surrounds me, as that goodness and mercy is my Lord Jesus Christ, and carries me up to live with Him in glory forever and ever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord, both in this life, as I dwell in communion with Him, and especially in worship, but also everlastingly in heaven, in Father's house of many mansions. Hell is want. Hell is lack. The lack of the one thing that is the greatest need. The fellowship, the presence, the loving presence of God. In hell there is only fury, only the wrath of God. Only God turning away from those who abide there. When we confess, I shall not want, we are saying with confidence, I will not suffer that. I will not endure that, not for a moment. I shall be in heaven where there is no want whatsoever, not in reality and not even felt or imagined or for a moment considered in my mind or my heart. I shall not want. No want will I endure ever regarding my spiritual needs. But that's also true then for us with regard to our earthly needs, or that which we call our earthly needs, our natural needs, the daily bread that we need, the occupations, the work that we need, the finances that we need, all of the earthly things that we need, clothing, homes, friends, all the rest. The Word of God says, you have no lack, no want, nothing missing. Not now. Not in the future either, but not now. Recognize that. We have to take hold of ourselves, don't we? Our covetous hearts, and settle them down. Our discontent hearts and minds, and we have to tell them this Word of God, and we have to remind ourselves this. You have everything you need. Why do you worry? Why do you clamor? Why do you covet? Why do you desire? The truth is, you have no lack. You have no want. You have no absence of anything that you need at this very moment. But that's true also with regard to the future. That's true also with regard to this coming year. That's the truth. That's the truth of the Word of God. This coming year, God will provide in His grace, in His mercy. Oh, He'll provide also for the reprobate. He'll give to them too, but not in His grace, not in His mercy. He'll give to them their daily bread accompanied with a curse to destroy them. But for you, God will provide with His grace, with His blessing. He'll give you all that you need throughout this coming year. And God will do that forever and ever. All of your life long. So long as you live here in this life, in this earth, God will grant you everything that you need. Only, we have to remember too, that that's as God determines need. Not as I determine it. Or at least not as I determine it first of all. Not as I step out ahead of things, ahead of God, and make an evaluation and decide and determine whether I have enough or whether I don't. God determines my need. God determines what you need. And God says to you at this very moment, you can look at what you have in your life and you can know that is what you need. I've determined that. I've decided that in eternity. As your good shepherd, as your good father, I care for you, soul as well as body. And I've determined what you need. Now, our calling then is to make our understanding of what we need what God says it is. Bring our evaluation of things into harmony with His evaluation as He reveals it to us in our life. And as we look into the future, with all the question marks and all of the wonderment, all of the mystery as to what will come tomorrow, next week, next month, what will happen, we can say, I don't need to know any of that because I know one thing. I shall not want. God will provide. I will have all that I need as He determines what I need. Remember that. Whether you have a lot, whether you gain much in this year, or whether you have barely enough, or whether you in fact don't even have enough. Seems rather foolish to suggest such a thing in today's affluence, at least in our culture. But there may come a time, perhaps in the persecution, when we refuse to take the mark of the beast, and We're not allowed to buy and sell. Perhaps there comes a point where our stores of food grow smaller and smaller until finally there's nothing left to give to the children. There's nothing left for ourselves. And we may eat yet one more morsel, and then we say, with the widow, tomorrow we die. Then still we can say, I shall not want. I have no lack. I have no absence of anything that I absolutely need. God has determined this. This is what I need. This poverty, this way from this life into glory, that too is what I need. Or whether more realistically, it is in this year, or maybe even some years out yet, that our earthly strength wanes through disease or old age. Our earthly strength wanes to the point where we have no more strength left, and we fight yet to take but one more breath. Still then, on our deathbed, we can say, I have no want. I have everything the Lord has determined that I need. And all of that because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. As sheep, we have much that we need, much that needs to be provided to us. We don't stand before the Lord, we don't stand before one another tonight saying, I have no need because I am so strong and I'm so independent and I'm so self-sufficient. The Word of God reminds us that we are but sheep. As human beings, we're very, very much like sheep. We're foolish. We can't decide for ourselves. We can't provide for ourselves. We can't lead ourselves. Spiritually, we can't. And even from an earthly point of view, there's a sense in which that's true too. We can't. And we're defenseless. As sheep are defenseless. No great ability to run with tremendous speed. No strong antlers to protect themselves with. Defenseless, weak creatures. That's who we are. Not strong. Very weak. And sheep are stubborn. They don't even know what's good for themselves. They will resist the right way, the good way. They'll resist doing that which is good for themselves. So stubborn and foolish they are. And fearful. How fearful are sheep? Slightest thing and they're prone to scatter. They're prone to run away. Isn't that true of us? How fearful we are. How we tend to be filled with fright. Wondering, worrying, with amazement. How stubborn we are. Won't even do that which is right and good for ourselves, let alone to the glory of God. How foolish we are. How defenseless we are. As sheep, we have much need. But since Jehovah is our shepherd, the Word of God teaches us, God provides for all that we need. He fills up all that which we need. As our Lord, as our shepherd. That's really the point of verse 4, or one of the points of verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't have any lack or want there either, but here's the reason why. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For thou art with me. That's all that we need, isn't it? What more does a sheep need but that his shepherd stands with him? If a sheep could think, the sheep would look at that shepherd, if he could think any kind of rational, coherent way, he would look at that shepherd and say, that's all that I need, right there, the shepherd. I have a lot of needs. I'm defenseless, foolish, stubborn, fearful. But there's the shepherd. He provides all that I need. I have no want because I have a good shepherd. One that doesn't have a good shepherd may have much lack, much want. Say, really, that's the way it is with the reprobate, with the unbeliever out there in the world, scattered, running about, seeking to find what he thinks that he needs. And the earthly shepherds, the human shepherds that say they'll lead them, destroy them. I mean by that, of course, the false teachers, but also the politicians and the leaders in this world. Say, we will provide, turn to us, we'll give you what you need. And ultimately, behind it all, Satan. If we can call him a shepherd of the reprobate, negligent, uncaring, hateful of his own sheep, leaves them to be destroyed. But that's not true for us. We have Jehovah as our shepherd. That's what the word Lord means, of course, is the name Jehovah, which reminds us that God is our covenant God. He has brought us by His own grace into His covenant, by His own mighty power, and that only according to His own decree, for His own name's sake, He has brought us into His covenant and promised us, and of course keeps His promise, that He will ever maintain that covenant by His own power, by His own grace, by His own strength. That because He views us in the mediator of the covenant, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And from another point of view, He is our good shepherd. Jehovah God, triune God, but Jehovah God is triune through that one named Jehovah as Savior, Jesus. Our good shepherd. And that's Jesus' interpretation of Psalm 23. He tells us, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd of my sheep. I'm the good shepherd of God's people, of God's elect, of believing people of God. I am the good shepherd. And I am the good shepherd, he tells us in John 10, because I lay down my life for the sheep. That's how much I care for them. That's how much I love them. That's to which extent I will go in order to care for them, to meet their needs, to give them all that they need. I'll die for them. That's how much he loves us. And that all in grace, of course, not because we've deserved it or merited it or earned it in any way. Simply because it pleases Him to lay down His life for us, His sheep. And that too, not as one who laid down His life for the whole world just to see who might become His sheep. But He laid down His life with you in mind. He laid down His life with every one of His own elect sheep in His mind. He said, as it were, in His own heart and mind, I die not for the reprobate. I die not for those who are determined from eternity not to be my sheep. Those to whom I speak but who believe not, as He puts it in John chapter 10. But I lay down my life for those I, in my Father, have loved everlastingly. And He laid down His life for His sheep as the one who was God Himself. The one who was the creator of all, the one who was the Word at the beginning, who was God, and who by whom all God created all things. That's the power of our Good Shepherd, remember. His love, as great and vast as that is of no good to us if he's not a powerful God. But he is. Almighty God with unfathomable love. That's our Good Shepherd. We have no want because, as Jesus teaches us in John chapter 10, verse 27, because I know them, he says. Because I know them. And that doesn't only mean, though it includes this, it doesn't only mean that he knows all about us and he knows everything about our pathway and everything about our thoughts and our hearts and our weakness and all the rest. It means that, but it means also, I love them. In love, I know them. And knowingly, I love them. That's why they have no want. Because in my love for them, and as the mighty God, I care for them, and I provide for them, and I give them everything that they need. And then also, he adds, and they hear my voice. That even indicates, doesn't it, how he cares for his sheep. That's how a shepherd would care for his sheep. He would speak to them primarily. With his voice, he would call them. And the sheep would hear his voice. They would gather around him because they knew wherever they heard that voice, they would also find all that they needed as provided for them by their good shepherd. That's what Christ says to us too. As my sheep, you have no lack, you have no want because you hear my voice. You hear my voice in the Word. You hear my voice through the preaching. You hear your good shepherd providing for you and leading you and giving you all that you need. Providing for you by the power of my voice. Not only do you hear my voice, but that means too you recognize his voice. That's true of you too. As God's sheep, God's elect, regenerated, believing people, you hear the voice of Christ in the preaching of the Word and in your study of the Scripture and in other means as well. You hear the voice of Christ and you say, that's the voice of my good shepherd. Others in the world, other sheep follow other shepherds. They run here and there after those shepherds. But I hear the voice of my shepherd, and I recognize it as his voice. And then Jesus says, and they follow me. Because they hear my voice and recognize my voice and know that's the voice of the one who knows them, who loves them. They follow me. I lead them in the paths of righteousness, not in the paths of wickedness. I lead them in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake, and they follow me gladly, contentedly, satisfied, at rest. They follow me. There is the place of safety. There's the place of no want, cared for by our good shepherd, called by his voice powerfully unto himself, and walking with him, led by him. by his power and by his grace. So that then, all of that being true, all of that known by us by faith, we make that also then our confession. And that's what the text really is. It's a personal confession. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Those who have different shepherds, they're going to want, they're going to lack, I know that. But what's true for me is that the Lord, Jehovah God, in Jesus Christ, my blessed Savior, is everything that I need. And since he is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a confession that's made by faith, that's made by a believer. And don't fear, the Good Shepherd has provided that need for you too. He's given you faith. That's a gift. It's a gift he gives to every one of his sheep. For every one of those sheep that he laid down his life for, to every one of them he gives the gift of faith so that they can believe. And then even by his voice, he comes into our hearts mysteriously, powerfully, and he activates that faith and he causes us to believe, not against our will, but by sweetly and powerfully bending our will to be in conformity with his will, he causes us to believe. He causes us to know that he is our shepherd and that therefore we have no want. And he causes us to be assured in our hearts, I have no want because the Lord is my shepherd. And then it's only natural, and it always will be, that as God's children, then we confess that. We say that. We say that to ourselves, first of all. We say that to one another. We'll say that to whoever will listen. The Lord is my shepherd. The best shepherd, the good shepherd, the only shepherd who provides for his sheep is my shepherd. Therefore, I have no want. And we confess that before the Lord too. We do that, beloved, in a multitude of different ways, but we do that this way too. Now in connection with prayer day, we do that this way. When we say to our Lord, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, provide for us this year all that we need. While we ask it, we also confess, for thou art our shepherd. There's the basis for why we ask this request of God, why we make this petition. For thou art our good shepherd. And therefore, I know thou wilt hear me. I know thou wilt answer me. I know thou wilt provide for me. And I shall not want. Amen. Father, we thank thee for thy word once again this evening. We thank thee that once again we have heard the voice of our good shepherd. We have heard thee, and thou hast comforted us once again, filled us with confidence, called us. We've heard thy voice. Thou hast drawn us unto thyself. We run to thee as thy sheep. And by thy grace in our heart, we will follow thee. And following thee, we shall confess Thou art our shepherd. Therefore, we will have, and we do have, no want. Indeed, we have all that we need. And even if it so please thee to take away everything in this life, still we say, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. My Lord, my God, my Savior, my Good Shepherd, by thy grace, amen.